This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and today we are stepping into the world of myth with a review of Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. After the fall of Troy, Odysseus embarks on an epic return journey to his homeland. Faced with foes from myth and legend, he will need to overcome impossible odds to return to the life he once knew. His kingdom, his wife Penelope, and his son Telemachus. Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey brings Homer's epic poem to the big screen in an unmissable scale.
What would he do if he came back here and find all these suitors in his house?
Who's looking after your wife and son?
Do you see?
My dad is coming home.
Bringing vengeance.
Bringing it all.
This star-studded cast features Matt Damon as Odysseus, Anne Hathaway as Penelope, Tom Holland as Telemachus, Robert Pattinson as the baddie Antinous, Zendaya as Athena, and more, and has a 2 hour and 53-minute runtime. To discuss the film, I am joined by Alan Russell. Hello, Alan.
Hello.
So, how aware were you of the myth of Odysseus before you saw the film?
I love the story. I was always, like, through high school, massive fan of kind of Greek and Roman history. I read The Odyssey, and I've never seen any kind of adaptations of it before. So when I heard this was coming out on the big screen, Christopher Nolan was going to be behind it, I thought, it's going to be big, because something like The Odyssey, it must be like an epic. He can't do it small scale.
I mean, it's a 10-year story with so many different elements, and if anyone loves an epic, it's Christopher Nolan. He got a huge budget after his last film, Oppenheimer, which was a massive critical success, also very, very long. And there's quite a lot of similar themes explored in this film between a great leader who makes some kind of technological innovation and then has to face the consequences of what that wartime decision means for the rest of the world and for his life going forward. So it's a very thoughtful film and definitely explores some of the harder elements of wartime and PTSD.
It stuck quite largely to the story. I know with movies you're going to get bits that aren't exactly true to the story, but on the whole I was really pleased with it. It kind of started more at Odysseus's home of Ithaca for a lot longer than I thought it was going to. At one point I thought, is it going to do anything about the war? Because there seems to be a lot about Ithaca and his home, his palace, you know, where his wife and his son were. But you know, it did kind of move on to that. What I was also expecting in it was, I would have liked for people who perhaps don't know the story to explain why this huge war raged outside the impenetrable and impregnable walls of Troy. That they didn't really get a background to why it started.
Yeah, that's very true. I think the film takes some liberties to try and map the story onto modern events in some ways, in lots of ways that I think work really well. But there are motivations given for the war that weren't really stated in the original story. We'll try not to give too many spoilers, but that was one thing. I think Odysseus as a character in this film is a much more haunted warrior leader than the traditional trickster that he usually is written about in Greek myths, which is quite a big change, but I think Christopher Nolan pulls it off quite well. And I love that you get to see Penelope and Telemachus a lot more, and you get to really see what the consequences of having someone who is set up to be the leader and provider in this society, and these two people that aren't able, because of different societal limits, they're not able to step up and take responsibility, even though they're having to do a lot of work to protect the throne. I kind of loved Penelope especially. I think she got a really interesting storyline to work with.
Penelope's there, Telemachus are there, they're the queen and the prince, if you like, but you know, the kingdom needs a king. You know, the suitors are there because they think, you know, he's not coming back. He's dead. Something's happened to him. So she has to kind of plot and trick her way to take as long as possible, because it, you know, this takes, the story is years and years it takes him to get home. And I think it manages to get the main parts of his journey in a short space of time. You do learn a lot about him. I think, yeah, you do get that that traumatized man. And Odysseus and his men, when they were returning from the Trojan War, you know, they landed obviously with provisions, but you know, they pillaged, they burned. They were not the nicest people and the heroic people that sometimes the story tries to make out. And I think, you know, he starts to realise that and regret that as things go on. I think he starts to understand kind of and regret the way they behaved almost on their return journey. And for me, it kind of showed up a lot more in this one. As you say, it was that tortured soul at times.
Yeah, absolutely. And moving to some of the monsters and the magical elements that he encounters, how did you find the audio description? How did you find the world building?
The audio description was very good. I mean, knowing the story, I knew what to expect. I knew the Cyclops, Polyphemus and Calypso and Circe, the big stories, the sirens. So I knew what was going to be coming up in this. Well, I hoped it would be as true to the story as it possibly could be. The audio description was very good. You kind of, when you watch audio description on TV in the house, you know, everyone can kind of hear it. And it's mixed in such a way that when the AD's on, the level of the programme you're watching dips a little bit, so you can hear the AD, but that isn't the case. And when you're listening to some of the more active or, you know, the fighting scenes, the really loud action scenes, you sometimes had to like crank the volume up on the audio description headphones to listen to what was going on. But yeah, no, you could follow it really well. There's a part on Circe's island.
Where I know the one you mean.
Tricks Odysseus's crew that are left, and it's what happens to them on her island is very graphic. But the audio description just, you know, no holds barred, nothing was left out. I knew exactly what was happening. So maybe a little bit of Hollywood in that, making it a bit more graphic than it probably really was, but maybe you had to do that to bring this particular theme of what she does to the men to life. But it all worked for me. I don't think I missed out on anything. I mean, apart from sitting going, I don't remember that happening in the story. Or, oh yeah, I remember that. But I don't think I missed out on anything. I mean, it's difficult to say when you can't actually see it and you listen to the AD. But for me, I got what I wanted from it.
Brilliant. And did you have any favourite characters, performances or moments?
I mean, Odysseus being the main character, his story you're kind of following as well. But you're also following Penelope's story. And I think in the book, her part is kind of, it's not glossed over, but it's possibly not highlighted as much as it should have been. I felt that Penelope got more of a part in the film. I thought you understood the dilemmas that she was put in a lot more. I liked hearing a lot more about the palace. Yeah, I think her part, I would say, was probably maybe my favourite one, which is kind of unexpected, to be honest.
Yeah, I loved Penelope in this film, and I thought Robert Pattinson was so good as Slimy Antinous, as the as the baddie. And I like they added something into this film that connects Odysseus and Antinous in an unexpected way. And Robert Pattinson is just so good at being a goofy and horrible villain, because there are points where he's like really embarrassing and grim.
Yeah.
And yeah, I thought all of the performances were really strong overall. Definitely didn't feel like 2 hours and 53 minutes to me. It was so entertaining the whole time.
There's little strands at the beginning which weave together at the end, unlike Penelope's tapestry, obviously. I didn't think it felt like, you know, the best part of 3 hours that I sat and watched the film. I did go with some friends. It was a small group of us that went. And let's just say one or two of them decided that they had to go for a toilet break a few times because some of the scenes were a bit gory.
That's very fair. So, Alan Russell, out of 5 horses, what would you rate The Odyssey?
I would give The Odyssey 4 Trojan horses.
I have to agree. It's a 4 from me as well. And if you can, maybe try and read a little synopsis of the Trojan War before you go into the Odyssey so that you get some of the context leading into it. But for now, thank you so much, Alan Russell, for joining me here to review the Odyssey on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you. I'm off to read the book again.